Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
Herbs have been used by people since the dawn of time. When Rockefeller introduced allopathic medicine, many herbal remedies fell by the wayside as people put their faith in prescription pills and the world just gets sicker. Here at Heathen Herbs, we look to the past and to nature for answers. We offer tinctures, magnesium skin cream, lip balm, tooth powder, colloidal silver throat spray, and more. Check us out at heathenherbs.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You've made a serious investment in protecting yourself and your family. You've purchased the gun, the ammunition, the training, and even secured a license to carry in your state. You know the Constitution and don't believe you should have to pay for a right that you already have, as written in the Second Amendment, but you are law-abiding. Now you are considering the legal defense options you should have if you ever have to use a firearm. Self-Defense Fund is a comprehensive litigation membership backing you on appeals, legal expenses, court costs, and more. Up to $1 million per incident and unlimited attorney costs per member. Discover selfdefensefund.com for yourself. Any weapon, any state, any time.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Racial survival is the necessary basis for having a future. If we as a people make money our primary value in life, our race, our people will die. Eventually, circumstances or enemies will force us to choose between continued prosperity and the things that are essential for our people's racial, biological survival. And if we choose money and prosperity and give up the essentials we need for survival, like an exclusive territory for our people alone, or a government answerable to our people alone, our people will die. It may seem ironic, but if we make safety our primary value in life, our people will die. At some future time, a more daring people, coveting our land or our wealth, will make a credible threat that we can't safely counter. We'll have to choose between potentially dying for our people's future freedom, or a safe surrender, and a slavery we imagine will be safe. It won't be. Competition between peoples for land and resources is never chivalrous, nor peaceful, nor humanitarian, though some pretend that it is. Once we surrender to an implacable alien enemy not of our own race, our people will die. Once they have the whip hand over us, they will grind us into the bloody dirt while laughing at our cowardice and our scruples. Only those willing to fight, to risk it all for racial survival, have any chance of continued life. If we make Jesus our primary value in life, our people will die. The Jesus myth tells us it is what we believe that defines our group, that defines what we really are. So if Maxine Waters says she believes in Jesus, she is one of us. If a Jew or a Black or a Mestizo or anyone else just repeats the right Bible verses, then there is no difference between us and them. And even thinking that there might be differences, important differences, is a terrible sin. Human groups that don't make their own biological survival into a high and unquestionable value tend to disappear. The religions that sprang from Judaism are anti-racial religions. They make it an article of faith that race doesn't matter, and that it is of no consequence if your grandchildren are not of your race, as long as they believe the right things. Islam and Christianity are acids that dissolve races and nations. We must think of ourselves as white people. And we should put race, which is what we actually are, higher in our scale of values than money, higher than religion, higher than what we believe. After all, mere belief has no physical existence whatever. It is an epiphenomenon of the functioning of our minds. It is often transient, changing many times over the course of a lifetime, and sometimes changing in the course of hours or minutes. We live in a world of matter and energy, and the divine, the truth, and the upward path of cosmic evolution leading to the discovery of that truth lies not in Abrahamic scrolls, born of the bizarre and alien superstitions and hatreds of the ancient Middle East, no, but within the mathematical and physical and evolutionary reality of the past, present, and future of the universe, and is discoverable through the scientific method applied by the minds of the best of our evolving race. Most importantly, the truly divine path is also the path of the upward development of our race. The current limitations on our knowledge are not limits or faults of the scientific method, but are instead the current limits of the human brain, which even among our best minds is still just beginning to evolve above the primordial swamps from which it has risen. You might make an analogy and say that we are but a millimeter above those swamps now as we begin a journey to the stars. You could couch that analogy in religious terms, if that helps you understand it better. A journey to God instead of a journey to the stars. Respect for God's will versus respect for nature's laws. Call it God or destiny or nature, but understand that our uniquely beautiful and creative race must survive and progress if our lives are to have any meaning at all. The National Alliance unites into one community those who understand this truth, those who are determined to restore and augment and make absolutely impregnable the racial basis of society. We also want to go beyond the vision of racial preservation that our forefathers partially understood. Based on what we have learned from our great men of science and philosophy, from Darwin to Peirce, we believe we can and should enter an era of racial progress. How differently we see the world compared to the near suicidal Christian conservative Zionists, like the late Ed McAteer, who once said, quote, "God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. Every grain of sand between the Dead Sea, the Jordan River, and the Mediterranean Sea belongs to the Jews." Close quote. Not a word about any land, anywhere, belonging to white people, or any other people for that matter. How differently we see the world compared with the Christian conservative Zionists like John Hagee, who said to a Jewish interviewer, quote, "We are Gentiles. We don't have a covenant. You have a covenant. We don't. And that's the only way we get plugged in to have eternal life." Close quote. The only meaning and the only hope for us, according to Hagee and his ilk, is in a subservient role to the Jews. These liars have deceived our people so that we and our wealth and all our work and the blood of our sons and daughters are totally in the service of the Middle Eastern parasite. How many have died in the endless wars for Israel in the Middle East? How much of our wealth has flowed to the parasitic state over the last 70 years? No people could tolerate such deception and destruction for long. We in the National Alliance are working for the day when we will no longer tolerate it. There are a few, a very few, racially conscious white Christian churches. But given the nature of their creed, based on the Jewish Bible, how can such a church prevent its elders from diving into Scripture and, as many others have done, discovering the Jewish roots of Christianity and completely changing the principles on which the pro-white church was founded? A similar thing happened to the Dutch Reformed Church in South Africa. That church had long supported the freedom and independence of the Afrikaner people who made up its membership. It was a bulwark of white racial survival and the survival of white civilization on the Dark Continent. It fully supported the apartheid or separate development policy of the South African government, which was an absolute necessity for white survival there. Despite all the economic pressures of the Jews, who control the financial establishment of the West, to destroy white South Africa, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the assassination of South Africa's great leader, Dr. Verwoerd, in 1966, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the institution of Jewish television programming in South Africa in 1975, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood firm, white South Africa survived. Despite the fact that the Jewish Oppenheimer family was long the most powerful economic entity in South Africa, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church stood up for apartheid, white South Africa survived. Despite the screaming, spitting, and 24/7 vilification of South Africa for decades by the Jewish media in the West, and the resultant institution of crippling state sanctions on that country, which went on for many years, as long as the Dutch Reformed Church supported white survival, South Africans did not bend, and they maintained their freedom and independence. But as soon as the leaders of the Dutch Reformed Church had a new revelation and declared that the teachings of their church had been wrong for 400 years and that the races were equal after all, the South African people gave up their country voluntarily and voted for a new constitution which guaranteed them slavery, savagery, and murder on a scale that boggles the mind, and which also guarantees their extinction as a people, unless a radical change in consciousness occurs there soon. And something similar happened to the Mormon Church a few years ago. Their doctrines had long favored white people almost exclusively. Some of their religious writings discussed this explicitly. With minuscule exceptions, only whites were proselytized, and only whites could be leaders of the church. But one day a new revelation occurred, and the leaders of the church magically discovered that the old interpretation of sacred scripture was wrong. And they declared that overnight, their racial policy was to be reversed. Thereafter, non-whites could become church leaders, and non-white countries were to become the focus of missionary efforts. Now, it really does not matter much if the new revelations that occurred in the Mormon Church and the Dutch Reformed Church were the results of naive faith, creeping secularism, outside pressure, or bundles of Jewish cash. The fact is, they occurred. And the only thing that could possibly have stopped them from occurring was if the leaders of those churches and of those societies had put race first and made racial survival a non-negotiable principle that could never be changed. No church, except the cosmotheist church, does that. Making anything except racial survival the highest value of your society is dangerous. Making economic principles, whether of the egalitarian socialist or rapacious capitalist variety, your highest value is a danger to the race. The state bureaucrats who thrive under the current system love dependent people who always vote to give the bureaucrats more power. And who is more dependent and politically dependable than the black and mestizo underclass? the rapacious capitalists love cheap labor and a dumbed-down consumer class, which is very susceptible to mass marketing techniques. Who fits those profiles better than the same underclass beloved of the bureaucrats? Who ships factories to China's and Mexico's slave labor pens? And who brings non-whites to work in their chicken rendering plants and agribusinesses by the millions? Yes, basing your society on money can be fatal to your people too. We must make racial survival and racial progress the two most important principles of the state. And we should all put our shoulders to the wheel and sacrifice until it hurts in the cause of building a white community, which will someday gain the power to secure a free and independent state exclusively for the benefit and interests of white people. Without such a state, we all die, and our children suffer and disappear into the enslaved and degraded masses of the Jewish global plantation. We must begin where the founding fathers of the United States left off, and make the racial basis of our society even more explicit, far more explicit than they did. Racial preservation and racial progress must be made the first principles of our new Constitution, and those principles must not ever be subject to amendment. No revelation, no sentiment, nothing must ever be allowed to change them. Of course, a constitution is just a piece of paper. It means nothing without a strong community dedicated to its principles and willing to die rather than see it overthrown. We are building that community in the National Alliance.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, one beat. 100 hearts, one beat. 10,000 hearts, one beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say, if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing as Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack. has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are up. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war. Earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now, I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Send them, let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of it, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you, we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people, and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves, that they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. And the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.